Amen. Anybody here have any enemies? Huh? Besides the devil. What is an enemy?
Not a friend.
Not a friend. Somebody wants to do you wrong and harm? Got anybody? Huh? Got anybody that doesn't like you? I have an outline. But last night while I was trying to go to sleep, the Holy Spirit said, don't worry about the outline. Just talk to my people. This is probably one of the hardest situations in your life you will ever face, is dealing with an enemy. Jesus said, now, I didn't say this. Don't blame it on me. The master, the teacher, Jesus Christ himself said this. You shall love your neighbor. No, Jesus didn't say that. Well, he quoted that. He said, you people have heard, the ones he was talking to, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But here's what Jesus said. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Human relationships. How many has ever struggled with your relationship with somebody else? Someone here that's struggling with a human relationship now. If not right now, mark your calendar, it's coming. Someday, somewhere, somehow, somebody is going to find where you tied your goat and get your goat. God has made a family of believers. Wednesday night we've been studying and we see the whole scenario of what God is trying to accomplish in having a people who will love Him and serve Him. But in the process of human the human family, there have been a tremendous struggle in human relationship. But God wants His people to know that you can get along with almost anybody. So He gives to us this teaching: love your enemies. Now the law that was given in Leviticus 19:18, and this is what the law said: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now I want you to see what the Jews had done here. They said, love your neighbor. All right. That means the people in my community. That means the people in my religion. That means the people that are included in my life. No problem. But what they did was cut off everyone else. If you're not in my circle, then you're out of my circle, and I love who's in my circle, but too bad for you that are outside my circle. Jesus gave us an illustration of that. He went through a little town. His disciples went into town to get some food to eat, and He was sitting on the well. It was in a place called Samaria. Here come a woman from town. And she wasn't a nice woman. She had been married 4 times and was living with a woman for the 5th one. And she came to the well. She came at a time when no one else from town came, because she was looked down on. Not only was she a Samaritan woman whom the Jews hated, not because they were particularly bad people, but just because they were half Jewish and half pagan, half another race, half Parisian. They were of mixed blood. So just because of that, one thing the Jewish people hated them. They wouldn't even go through their country. They would walk the whole way around just not to have any contact with them. That's how much they loved them, their neighbors. That is, if you were a Jew, you're in my circle and I love you. But if you're a Samaritan, oh my goodness, stay away from me. Have you ever experienced that in your lifetime?
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. I was sitting in a restaurant in Cleveland, Tennessee years ago. And a well-dressed, very mannerly African-American gentleman walked up to the counter. Linda and I were sitting there eating. Everyone in the building was white. And I heard him. I was close enough to hear him say to the manager of the restaurant, my family and I are traveling and we're going through. Can we eat here? And the manager said, no.
Oh, no.
You're not welcome. Almost felt like getting up and walking out. I felt so bad for that gentleman. He was nicely dressed. The only difference was the color of his skin. I got a job. All the chicken you could eat for a buck. I was a waiter in a restaurant outside of Cleveland, Tennessee. And when I took the job, the owner of the restaurant looked at me and he said, if there are any, he didn't use the word African American. If there are any of those people come in here, you tell them they get their grub around that. I looked him in the eye, even before I started the job, and I said, if any come in here, I will serve
them. I didn't know what I was asking for. He told me it'll be your job, and I said, so be it. You know, when I go in and out of the building today in Hagerstown, there'll be some people that come in and out who speak Spanish. They're Mexican. I'm glad to stand and hold the door. And as they go through, say a word or two in Spanish that I know. They get carried away, and I say, I'm going to beat the poor one more.
Yeah. Walk in the VA Center of Virginia. See how many people you see in that baseball tower. See how many people got their leg off. Just walk in the VA Center of Virginia.
Yeah. The homeless man or woman on the street. I have seen people walk around. Didn't want to get close to them. Didn't want to make contact with them. Jesus is teaching us here that our neighbor is more. And what he taught us there sitting on that well, he decided to go through Samaria. He went through Samaria, sat on the well. Here come this outcast woman. And he said to her, give me a drink. She said, what are you asking me? You're a Jew. And you're asking me, a Samaritan woman, to give you a drink? Then he turned and said, if you drink the water that I have to give, you'll thirst no more. But you see, Jesus was teaching us a lesson there. These people were hated by his own people. And by all context, Jesus himself, they're recording this, I think. Jesus himself should have never been there. He should have never spoken to that woman. But instead of being the typical Jew, he broke what the mold was for the Jewish people of that day. And he said to that woman, I offer to you the same thing that I offer to anyone else. You are my neighbor and I love you. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to think about this. There are people in our lives, if we're not careful, and I just gave you a scenario, people in our lives that we become prejudiced against. Not because they did anything to us. Not because they did us any wrong themselves, but just because of who they are. Jesus said to us, love your enemies. So he is opening the door here. The Jews took this. If you're outside of my circle, you're my enemy. And we today, we say the same thing. If you're not in my circle, if you're not in my vocabulary, if you're not a part of my life, if you're not who I'm used to dealing with, then you're my enemy. And if that's the way we feel, then we're breaking the commandment of Jesus Christ. So love your enemy. Here's the other thing the Jews did wrong. They inferred, the Leviticus, the law said, love your neighbor. So they inferred that just because it said love your neighbor, you do the exact opposite to those who are outside your circle and you hate them. That's the reason why Jesus, when he opened this discussion, said, you have heard, love your neighbor. And hate your enemy. Just because you're not in my circle, then I'm going to push you aside. And that's what we do today, don't we? We push other people who we don't know. Even strangers. How many has ever gotten on an elevator? How many of you backed up in the corner and somebody was in the other corner and both of you stood there? I don't know who that is. They're a danger to me. I don't want to rub shoulders with them. And so... All right. When I walk in an elevator, I say, "Hello, I'm going up. How about you?" If I'm going up. When the door's closed and it's going up, I say, "I'm heading higher than this thing will go one of these days. How about you?" I've had some of them back up in the corner and wish there was more room. I even had a priest got in the elevator with me, and I said to him, "I'm headed toward heaven. How about you?" He dropped his jaw, backed up in the corner, pulled his garments around him. "Who is this weirdo that just walked into this elevator with me?" But Jesus is saying, love everybody that is outside of your circle. Doesn't matter who they are. If it's the homeless man on the street, if it's the prostitute, if it's a drug addict, it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what color skin. It doesn't matter what language they speak. They are my neighbor. And Jesus is teaching us here, I am to love them. Now somebody said here to begin, your enemy is somebody who's done something against you. What did I read in that scripture? What was that? Huh? Bless those who curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now it's getting personal. Huh? What I was talking about before were people that were just outside our circle. Now it's getting personal. Let me tell you something. You can slap me on one cheek and I'll turn the other one. But the Bible doesn't say what to do after the second cheek. I'm going to give you a little experience in righteous indignation. Is that love? Is that doing good? I'll get them. They cut me off at this red light, I'll get them at the next one. They blew black smoke in my face, I'll get around them. I'll give them what for. Huh? Still reloading. Do good, Jesus said. Doesn't matter what they've done to you. That doesn't count. It's not in the vocabulary here. Jesus is making it very clear, when they do you wrong, when your neighbor does you wrong, when your relative does you wrong, when somebody you don't even know does you wrong, Jesus is saying your obligation is to do them right.
That's the hard part.
Yeah. Be sure you're the fastest shooter. We're not talking about protecting our life here. Yeah, we're talking about... We covered that one last Sunday. You weren't here, were you? Yeah. It's a God-given right for everyone to be able to protect their life and their family. That's not even discussed here. That Jesus took that for granted, that everybody knows that. That's why he said, you turn the other cheek. In other words, you go over what you're doing. It's about that individual who is persecuting you, who doesn't like your religion, who doesn't like the way you comb your hair, who doesn't like the way you drive your car or whatever. When they're doing you wrong, you deliberately, and this is the love that Jesus uses here. He uses the word agape, which means is that you willfully, in your mind, choose to do them good, to love them. Now that's a different kind of love than phileo, which is brotherly love. Oh yes, who couldn't love Liz Peel? You're part of the family. My goodness. And the rest of you, I feel the same. All of us, we love everybody here, don't we?
Yes.
I don't know. I saw somebody coming in with a different kind of shoe on today. Why in the world they wear a shoe like that to church? My goodness. Don't they know better? They ought to cover up a little bit, huh? This or that or the other thing. Did you see that hairdo that Sister So-and-so had? When somebody does you deliberately wrong, you know, phileo love is that just natural love. Do you love Cora? Really? All right, what makes you love her? She is my everything. Isn't that what you said? She is my all. All right. You love Jesse? Why?
You're going to get married again.
Going to get married again. You love the people that are in your life and your family. That's just natural. It's part of that. But this kind of love, agape love, is when that individual who does you wrong, who deliberately goes against you, you choose in your mind, in your heart, against the way you feel, you choose to do them good instead of evil. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And I want you again, notice this is Jesus talking. This is the great teacher. This is the anointed one we saw back some time ago. This is the one who said God had anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. Wherever he went, the Bible says he was doing good. Now you want to see example of how he did good? Now, how much worse could it get than a bunch of people who just didn't like you, whipped you real good, beat you to a bloody pulp, stripped you naked in front of everybody, nailed you to a tree, and with a thud put you up between heaven and earth to let you die? You want to see how he did good? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's taking it to the extreme, isn't it?
Amen.
That's exactly what Jesus is expecting of us when he said, you're not only to love your neighbor as yourself, you are to love them when they do you evil, when they do you wrong, when they go against you. Love that individual. Find a way to do them good. I told you the story last week about my neighbor years ago. Went throughout this community and tried to get people to sue me and sue the church because we couldn't put a drive out on the main highway. We tried, and they wouldn't let us do it. He got angry at me, and for a few years, boy, he wouldn't look at me. He couldn't get the neighbors to agree to sue me and sue the church. But he wouldn't agree. He wouldn't greet me. He would turn his head every time. And he lived right beside me. And I kept throwing my hand up. I kept going out to my garden and getting squash and putting them on his front porch. I picked tomatoes off my tomato plants, and boy, let me tell you what, they made some good sandwiches, I'm telling you. Man, you get some nice sliced white bread and slather it good with mayonnaise and slice that big thick tomato up, put salt and pepper on it. Oh my goodness. And I took those tomatoes over and put them on his porch.
Man, how lucky your neighbor.
Yeah, I caught a man in my garden one time with bib overalls on. He had it full of my corn. Just doing good when they do you wrong. And the rest of the story is that after a couple of years, finally one day when I was working on my duplex next door to my house, here he came walking in. And I looked up and tears were coming. And he said, "Would you pray for me?" I remembered all those tomato sandwiches I gave up. And I said, "It's worth it all." Amen. This is what Jesus, this is what he did. He didn't just tell us this is what we have to do. This is what he did. He forgave those who crucified him. I've never had anybody to crucify me. I've had people say, "Well, if the preacher comes, I'm going to shoot him." And I'd go as soon as I got the message, and here I am. I don't have any holes in me. And I've had people get angry. I've had them grab their coat and go out the back door of the church and slam the door. I remember I was having a revival in Bridgeville, Delaware one time, and during the revival, the men of the church, the council of the church, called a business meeting and told the pastor to pack his bags and move and take the evangelist with him. I was the evangelist. Pardon? But I'm telling you what, if we do what Jesus tells us, if we love our enemy, and we have enough of grace. Now, this is not something you can do on your own. You do it on your knees. You do it when you get a good relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not something you learn in catechism to do. This is something that comes from the Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ living in you. Did you hear the Lord talking to us today? It is when we have the kind of experiences that we've had spiritually here this morning that we can look at the person who has done us wrong, and with a heart full of love we can say, "I will do you good in return instead of evil."
Amen.
I've practiced it. I had a church member on the Eastern Shore, not here, don't look around. Every time he came to church, there was something wrong. with what I did. I was laboring, building the church, physically building the church. He was busy on his days off work with his rabbit hounds hunting rabbits. Never once, not once, did he come to offer me a hand. The rest of the men in the church was there. They helped me dig footers. They helped me put shingles on. They helped me do the work building the church and building the parsonage. But not once, but every time he came in the door, something wasn't done right. And there were times on a Sunday morning, I stood at the back door like I stand here. I stood at the back door and the door opened and he walked in and I said, "Oh Lord God, I want to hit him so bad." But because I was singing and praying to the Lord while I was nailing shingles, the Lord was doing something in my heart, and when he walked in the door and he told me what was wrong, I said, "Yes, Bob, I'll take that into consideration. Thank you. God bless you. Let's enjoy the service." It's not something you can do easily, but it's something that on your knees, with an experience with Jesus Christ, you can accomplish for His glory. Now let me tell you, Jesus told this to us because He knew it would do us good. What's going to happen if you smack your neighbor when he does you wrong? Going to make him madder. More mad at you. He's going to get you back. What happens to you if you let it seethe in your heart? You're going to get bitter. You're going to get angry. It's going to eat you up. You know what's going to happen if you do him good? You're going to be able to walk away and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." Yes. I put a sign out here along the road one day on the church sign many years ago. Do good for those that despitefully use you. It will put coals, heap coals of fire on their head. And somebody called me up and said, "What kind of a preacher are you? You want to heap coals of fire on somebody's head?" I said, "I didn't say it. The Bible says it." What's he talking about? He's talking about when you're doing good to somebody else, God uses that to convict their heart, convict their soul. And guess what? Sooner or later they'll come around and say, "I'm sorry." And you become brothers, sisters in Christ. I don't know about you. What time is it? Quarter after, I better cut. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven and I stand before Jesus, I don't want Him to say, "Do you remember so and so? Why didn't you love them? Why didn't you do good to them?" When I get to heaven and stand before Jesus, I want Him to look down the list. And I want Him to see all the people that didn't like me. I want Him to see all of the people that went against me. I want Him to see all the people that did me wrong. And then I want Him to look and say, "You did good in return. Come into my kingdom. Be a part of my kingdom." And when I get inside, I'm going to look over and see, guess who? The guy that did me wrong. In heaven. And I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. How many want to be in that number?
Yes, amen.
In that number. Lord, I didn't do this the way I planned to do it at all this morning. But I'm trusting that through the Holy Spirit, somehow, some way, you've spoken to somebody's heart. And the Lord, if there's anyone here who is struggling with their enemy, if they're struggling with that individual who has done them wrong, if they're struggling with that person who has persecuted them or done evil against them, that you'll help them right now through the Holy Spirit. Help them, Lord Jesus, to grasp and hold on to you and to feel their hearts flooded with the kind of love, agape love, that you had and showed on the cross toward those who persecuted you. Lord, we're only human, and all of us struggle with this thing. All of us have had our battles with it, and we'll probably have that battle again with somebody else in the future. But I'm asking you, Lord, fill our hearts up with your agape love. Fill us up with your wonderful grace and your mercy. The same kind of mercy you have shown toward us, help us to show toward those who don't like us. Help us to show toward those who do us wrong. Jesus, open us up. Our hearts are full. Make us filled with your agape love. Open your hearts right now. Open your heart to Jesus. Open your life right now to Christ. If you've been struggling with this very thing, listen to what Jesus said. He knows the struggle. He knows the battle. And he has been there. And he understands. Open up your heart right now. And if there is any ought against anyone because of religion, because of lifestyle, because of color of skin, because of language they speak, or because of things they've done wrong against you, open your heart and allow the love of Jesus to flow in, and allow his agape love to flow out of you now toward those that have been what you counted as their enemy. Jesus, I pray for every enemy that may be represented here today. I pray for everybody that has done anyone wrong here today. I pray for all of those who would be considered to have persecuted or done evil against any one of us. We pray for them, not vengeance, Lord. We pray salvation. We pray repentance. We pray, Lord, redemption. For we know that it is not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to righteousness. Amen.